Good morning. It's a great morning, isn't it? To see people confess faith in Christ, to go under the water, symbolizing Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection. We died with him, but we are raised with him into eternal life. We just love not just the symbolism of water baptism, but the power of water baptism and the Lord speaking individually to hearts of people today as they were water baptized. Hey, we're calling today Heart for the House. There'll be a number of Heart for the House installments throughout the year as we just kind of think about and give our heart to the things of God and the local church here called Harvest Christian Fellowship. We believe, of course, in the universal church, all believers across the world. But the New Testament only talks once or twice in one or two verses about capital C church, if you want to say it that way. But it talks most often and the highest percentage of verses about the local church, churches where communities and families are gathered, and there are individual expressions about what God is doing in that local church. When I was growing up, I only knew serving at church. I didn't know it was a thing that you got to do. I just did it because that's what we did at my house, and both my parents were very involved in our church. And so if something was happening, I just knew that that was part of what we did as a family. When I was 12, I actually served in kids' church. I was a kids' church worker. I was on the puppet team, and I actually had a ventriloquist puppet that I could almost not move my lips. I practiced a lot, and it was a scary puppet. The kids were scared enough. They all responded to the altar call every single time. And so always knew about serving and serving God's purpose. I had a sense early on in my life of just my own destiny in God and the things of God, that I knew God, and I was finding freedom as a young person that I remember giving my heart to Jesus when I was 9, and then water baptized shortly after. By the time I was 16, I had preached my first sermon in our church, and at 15, a year before, was really involved in our youth ministry and continued on in youth ministry. Serving the purposes of God was just something that I knew was a part of discipleship. And if I could be as strong this morning as we're talking about, have a heart for the house, and we're celebrating our dream team today. On Friday evening, we got together and had a dream team celebration, just celebrating all those at work each and every Sunday and other times throughout the week to make everything happen here at Harvest so that people can find Jesus and know Jesus and make an expression of faith, because that's God's dream. And our dream at Harvest is that people would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so we are celebrating that today. And oftentimes people will say, well, what do you do for discipleship at Harvest? And that's not people that are here, because people here understand. Usually people from outside asking, looking in, and they want what they're really asking. I know what they're asking. They're asking, what kind of Bible studies do you have so we can study and be geniuses of the Bible? Because somehow knowledge is very important, and Bible knowledge is super important to us at Harvest. But we have found that discipleship should be the way Jesus did it. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in the following of Jesus and in the serving of Jesus' purposes, along in the serving, he would stop with his disciples and he would instruct them. Then he would have them busy feeding the multitudes, busy assisting him in everything he was doing. And we believe discipleship looks exactly the same way today. That as we follow Jesus in serving his purpose, which is other people, along the way we're learning things and we're learning how to be like Jesus and serve others like Jesus. And from time to time, Jesus will sit us down and talk one-on-one about some things out of his word in our prayer times, in a sermon like today, and talk to us about things he is adjusting and transforming. But discipleship is more than a classroom and learning how to be a Christian. Jesus said it's better on the job training. Say on the job training. And that's what we believe at Harvest. We're celebrating the dream team today, all those who have made a decision to be a part of the family. When you make the decision to follow Jesus into a life of serving at Harvest, you join the dream team, and it becomes you become part of the functioning family here. 1 Corinthians says, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is separate and a necessary part of it. A necessary part. The Bible says you're necessary. So if God says you're necessary and that he needs you to function in Jesus's body called his local church, but you feel unnecessary today, or you feel non-essential, or you feel dispensable, or you feel like somebody else can do it better. What do they need me for? Somebody else can do that better. I want to tell you this morning, that's a limiting belief that the enemy's placed on your life. It's limiting you from being all that God wants from you, because the scriptures say, necessary part of it. Would you say it with me? Necessary part of it. Let's look at Jesus's first dream team, his first draft pick, the 12 followers, disciples of Jesus. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there. They were washing their nets. We understand from the story, it was a night fishing. That was the species of fish they were after. This was their livelihood. They had fished all night. Apparently, they weren't great fishermen because they caught nothing, nada, nothing in the nets. That meant no money that day, no fish to go to market. But Jesus saw an opportunity not to preach by himself or to put on the show, but to include his disciples. He was calling them to come into a life to with him in the ministry. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, also Peter was his name. We know that name a little bit more familiar. Its owner, to push out into the water. And so Jesus sat on the boat and taught the crowds. He used the boat as an amphitheater off the water for a PA system so everyone could hear him. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Wrong time for fishing, wrong depth for fishing. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners into the other boat. And soon both services were filled with people. I mean, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. And were the others with him? Sometimes when God uses us, we feel like Peter, like, why would God use me? My life is sinful. I'm still trying to work this out. We're a room full of people working it out. Can I hear an amen from somebody working it out today? We're all people working it out. And we're not to be amazed by where we were, but amazed by where we're going and what God is doing. And he chooses to use us to fill the nets, as we see that Jesus was using this really as a parable about having them fish for people. He said, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They were washing their nets because it was the end of their evening of fishing. They wouldn't put, slimy nets. They would rot. And so they would have to go through all of the work to wash the nets anyway, even though there were no fish in them. And at that moment, sure, they're feeling defeated, feeling like that's the end of a night that I never want to remember again. I hope tomorrow's better. And yet Jesus spoke to a beginning, not to the end, but to a beginning into their life. And one thing's for sure, when Jesus speaks to us and he calls us to faith, and as our candidates responded today in the public demonstration of baptism, as they were in obeying the scriptures as we are to do, one thing for sure, Jesus is going to invite us to. He's going to call you to go into deeper water. He's going to call you to the place of blessings, of trusting him in deeper water. He said to Peter, I want you to push the boat into deeper water. A number of years ago, my son Nathaniel, my oldest son, and I, we lived in Ingleside, and we had we still have the same canoe. Being so close to the river, we had a little set of wheels on the canoe. We would just pick up one end and wheel it down to the St. Lawrence and push it in. And we decided we were going to paddle out of Ingleside and around Kroll Island on the American side and back again. And the water there, if you've been in it, is very shallow, and thanks to the zebra mussels, very clear. And you can see bottom. And there's something comforting when you're in a canoe that, you know, if you're afraid of tipping one way or the other, we weren't experts by any stretch of the imagination, novices at best. And I was at the back being the rudder guy, and Nathaniel was at the front, and we're paddling. And I don't know, I felt super comfortable when I could just kind of look over and see bottom, and thought if we did tip the canoe, it would be just a matter of standing up, because literally the water is that shallow there, and you know, empty out the canoe, get back in, and away we would go. But as we went across the shipping channel, which we needed to do to get out across Kroll Island, the water's dark. It's scary. I don't know what it is about water you can't see the bottom in, but it just, and I remember being super nervous. It was like, and I'm wondering, I'm thinking, why is it any different? The shallow water, the deeper water, why is it any different that the water is 90 feet deep here and, you know, 2 feet deep there? It floats. We got buoyancy. We've got the canoe, because deeper water symbolizes deeper things. It seems a little scary. It stretches us. It speaks about growth and change. And so when Jesus called to Peter, he said, I love you the way you are, but I'm not going to leave you the way you are. I want you to come into deeper waters. I want you to trust me, trust my work in your life. And so we're called to grow and to stretch, because we haven't reached our potential yet. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Sometimes it makes no sense to the natural mind, this walk with Jesus. Sometimes as we hear principles of how to live the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus, it makes no sense to our mind. And fishing at that time and going out into deeper water, it just didn't make sense. But Peter said, I'm going to trust you, which was the kind of the theme of some of the words that God was giving our candidates today and to all of us. Trust me. It doesn't always make sense, but I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. So Jesus invites us, as he invited the disciples. They made that decision to follow him. Go out into deeper water. Take him at his word. Make the Bible the rudder of our life. These things will happen. Three things today as he invites us to follow him. Number one, you will find your purpose. And that purpose is fishing for people. In other words, discovering people that God is loving, that they're in your sphere of life, and God wants to use you to impact them, to use you here in the house of God to impact people that are coming. Maybe someone here today for the first time discovering God's love, that you're going to make a difference in the lives of others. There's only one place that you can find this purpose. Say purpose. Remember, we want you to know God and find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose, which is what we're talking about today, so you can make a difference. That's our fourfold mission here at Harvest, because that's the dream that's in God's heart, and that's why we have a dream team to fulfill that mission. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we heard about Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose that he is working out in everything and everyone. Everyone is born with a purpose that God has. And the one place we find that purpose is in Christ. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you a future that you hope for. In some translations, to give you a purpose. Our purpose is in God's plan. But we find that purpose as it pertains to others, and specifically in the house of God. Watch this, Romans chapter 12. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, whether not the other way around. So we are, our identity as Christians is not our individuality. Our identity as a Christian is we belong to Christ. We're a part of his body. And so we find our meaning because we've come into the family of God. And as the scriptures say, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these exactly formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's go ahead and be what we were made to be. And so our purpose is found in one place in Christ's body, which is this family of believers. So discipleship purpose is found at Harvest in our dream team. At least it begins there. Number two, not only are we to find purpose, we are to find our place. In the reel that started our service as we were gathering, there were a number of stories of people who serve. And overwhelmingly, their response to, why would you serve? Because I found my place. At Harvest, we say you can belong before you believe. You can be a part of this community of believers even before you believe in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, a miracle takes place. You become the son and daughter of God, and that belonging becomes more significant. That belonging, you begin to understand it way more. In fact, it starts to make sense. We say at Harvest, this is a place where someone will know you, not just recognize your face, but learn to know your name and learn to hear your story. You might call this your home church today. You might be here and you attend. And we love it that you're here attending. But today, the purpose of celebrating Dream Team and talking to you about discipleship is that you have a next step. If you've not yet taken step one and found out about Roots and that you're here serving, first and foremost on Sundays, and then from Sunday, there are so many other opportunities as well. But it begins with our Sunday serving, that you will find, if you call this your home church, you will find it can begin to take meaning as you find that you're at home in God's family. And there's a difference, my home church or at home in the family. This not only you'll not only find a place to belong, but you'll find a place to grow. And I've mentioned, we believe that discipleship happens in the context of disciples, plural, working together for the purposes of God, first and foremost. Because that's where we get known. Yes, Bible knowledge. Yes, we have small groups. We have freedom groups, and people are studying the Bible, studying the scriptures, but it's still in the context of others. Never individual. A toe cut off, a finger cut off, as we read, doesn't have context the way it does when you're a part of God's body. There's a gentleman that I recently saw at a conference. And we went to Bible college together about 40 years ago. And his name is Dan Colantonio. And Dan pastors in Scarborough. And when I saw him, we hadn't seen each other for many, many years. And we began to talk about a team that we served on in our church while we were in Bible college. And it was like we were there yesterday, and something was forged in our relationship in those days of serving together. When we serve together on Dream Team, it solidifies connection. So we find purpose, we find a place. Number three, we find our potential. The fishermen, not sure how great fishermen they were, but God saw a potential in them in terms of the kingdom, in terms of their work with others. Those, they were known as fishermen by vocation, but when they began to put their hand to the things of God, to what Jesus had called to them, Acts says, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And so they were known for flipping worldly ideas, cultural ideas, absolutely upside down as people were being impacted by the good news of the gospel and lives were being changed. When you answer yes to Jesus to find your purpose, your place, you will find potential that you perhaps don't even know you had. Karen is so talented, and we just love her so very much. And some of you may know just Karen present tense. I've known Karen since she was a little girl. And her mom and dad that are here today, John and Mary, brought all of their kids to church to serve, like I was brought to church to serve, and they didn't know any better. They just did it because that's what they did as a family and continue to do now another generation. When Karen was a little girl, she was always involved in something and showed a lot of responsibility and aptitude. And I remember when I said, I need you to learn how to edit video. We're going to shoot some videos, But you're going to have to sit down at the computer and figure out the editing software and how to do that. And I don't remember exactly, but I'm sure it went something like, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't even think I like that. Do it anyway. You're serving in the house of God. And if you fast forward from young girl to now beautiful young woman who's so involved in the production, not just here at Harvest, many of you probably don't know that she has worked on the editing crew of a TV show that airs in Australia. And the episode one has aired in Australia, and the team that she's a part of, and she's a part of the editing team, they're working on 7 episodes for this year. Her name will be in the credits after as editing that video that's airing in Australia television. And one of my favorite things to hear at Harvest is when someone says, I didn't even know I had capacity to do that until somebody invited me into this arena, into this space, and I found out not only am I good at it, man, I love this, and I'm now great at it, and people's lives are being changed. You find your potential. Great churches are not built on the talents of a few, but on the sacrifice of the many. Let that sink in. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. And this is last week's verse, but I want you to see this week that as we look at the priestly responsibilities, and if you weren't here for that message, an online church today, you're watching and you didn't get last week's, make sure you do, because we talked about that we are called to be priests and what that means in the New Testament. And so we understood clearly that we have a priestly responsibility to shoulder the presence of God and to enter in wholeheartedly to worship. So it says that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I stopped there. But let's continue the verse. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Sacrifices, plural. There are a number of New Testament priestly responsibilities that we're to shoulder. And one of them is doing good for others so that others can see Jesus and experience him and know God. And so as we labor in the dream team, unapologetically, that's really the membership of this house. And if you're saying this is my home church, I'm asking this morning if maybe you're on the dream team already and you serve once a month, and we love that, that you let the Holy Spirit begin to talk to you about, could you do more? Not because more needs to be done in terms of jobs and tasks, but because God has more for you, because he has more for others. If you're not yet actively offering the priestly responsibility of doing good and serving others, I want to call you today to challenge you to take step one if you haven't, or maybe it's been a long time since you've done our roots and maybe even forgotten about it, and you're not scheduled to serve, that you would realize today from this scripture and from what we've shared today, this is part of your priestly responsibility. You might say, okay, Pastor, what is it you need? You need someone in the parking lot? Summer's over. I don't do January parking lot duty. I'll do summer. Oh, kids ministry? You need someone in kids ministry? Pastor, I don't even like my own kids. I come to church, last thing I want to see is someone else's. But hey, is there a need, Pastor? Is that what this is about today? There's some needs, and we just need some people to sign up. All right, I'll do the sign-up thing. I'll be a responsible citizen here of Harvest. If that's what you're hearing me say today, you've missed everything I've just said. And let me say it clearly. We don't need anything from you. God wants this for you and for others, because discipleship and growth and transformation happens when you serve. Do you know the difference between an acorn and an oak tree? One got planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Can our worship team come? And we're getting ready to shift gears here. A couple more things we're going to have happen, but if we can get ready for those. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. The old age thing's tricky there because I want to say something about it, and it's tricky. And I'm 61 now. And when I was 40, I thought 61 was old age. I knew, have a new perspective, and it's not old at all. And so now like 80's old. And if you're 80, that's not old at all. And 90's old, and so on and so on. And, but here's the deal, that at Harvest, we don't let anybody wear out, because it says they shall be fresh and flourishing. There's something about purpose that doesn't have a shelf life. And I can name many names today. At the Dream Team celebration time at the Vlad's, who did an amazing job just putting everything together for us. I spoke with Henry and Judy. Is Henry and Judy first service? Are you here? I think they probably come to second service. But Henry and Judy, who've been here almost since the very beginning, I said, Henry, remember when the church wasn't as big as the Dream Team? And he smiled, and he just started talking about what he's not what he's done in 21 years of serving at Harvest. He started telling me how excited he is about what he's doing right now. That's fresh and flourishing. Say fresh. And I want you to flourish. And so as things are shifting, there's a video that's going to be shown in just a moment. But just before, part of our Dream Team, our host team, is going to pass out a survey to you right now. And you'll be told what to do with it. But if they can come right now, if our host team can quickly pass those out as you watch this video.
Hi, my name is Sherry.
My name is Christiane.
Hi, I'm Benedict.
I'm Kathy Scott. I'm on the host team. We're the ones who meet you when you come in the door.
My favorite thing about serving on the host team is all of the amazing people that I've been able to meet and become friends with.
My favorite thing about serving is that I know that God is using me to change the life of people. I know that this is the purpose of God for my life.
Being a part of a team, feeling like I'm connected.
As a lighting operator, I try to create atmosphere where people can encounter the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And I believe this can change their life.
Seeing the pure joy that people get out of coming here.
To make an impact in the life of others.
It would be seeing the number of people that are saved at every service.
As individual, it's very important like for each of us to serve, because as the Bible said, we are the body of Christ. As much as individual that we got to represent Christ, the more we give access to God performing miracles and wonders on earth.
The reason I serve is because I know that there's an eternal value to it. When I'm doing whatever it is that needs to be done, I'm a part of the puzzle. We're completing something really big.
It takes a lot of people to make one service come together to make sure that you have the best experience when you walk in the door, and more importantly, when you walk out of the door.
Personally, it impacts me a lot because it brings me closer to Jesus. And the more you serve God, the more you become sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit.
So if you're not on a Dream Team yet, I really encourage you to join. It is a way to really meet people, and I can say for myself, it's when I finally felt like I really belonged to Harvest.
You might really enjoy it. You might realize that it's bigger than what it looks like. It really does make a difference.
So if you're not serving in the Dream Team, I encourage you to do so, because when you will serve, you will feel at peace with yourself, because you will have like a family community. During bad difficulties, you will not feel alone. You will feel encouraged because you know that you have a family here, your brothers and sisters.
It gives me such great satisfaction to know when I walk out of here at the end of a service that I've been part of the team that's helped make it all come together.
Make God your priority. Always put God first, and you will see that your life will be changed.
Thank you all. Thank you to those of you that were in that video. I got my helper with me. What's up, dude? Hey, how many of you like being stuck? No. Turns out to get unstuck, you got to take a step, right? And that's really what I feel like this morning is about. And this survey is just like Pastor was saying, it's not for us, it's for you. And I totally agree with everything you just heard, that as we serve, as we give, As for me, I think the big thing is getting out of where I'm comfortable. We see God do things. And yes, it's rewarding to be a part of like a service. And, you know, we pulled it off again this morning. But it's the sense of like, it's the sense of being a part of something so much imaginably, so unimaginable, so much bigger than we can pronounce or say. You just have the sense of like, actually, it's more than what we just did. There was something else a part of it. So I just want to encourage you that, like, this is for you to consider. Is there an area where God wants to stretch you? If this is your first time here, welcome. You're here on the right Sunday. And hopefully that just accelerates. And hopefully you see, wow, this is so much more than just a Sunday to Sunday showing up, experiencing a service. It's being a part of a community that's accomplishing a mission that God has for the city. You can hand these in as you head out. If you're looking for another way to get involved, of course, you can contribute financially. So the ways to give will be up on the screen. And we so appreciate you partnering with God in that way as you give to the house. It's just amazing to see what we can do. Let me just pray and then we'll send you on your way. God, I thank you so much for the decades of faithfulness we've seen here at Harvest, God. And we just see so many people coming for the first time and just this morning getting baptized. And then just hearing again a fresh call to all of us to serve you wholeheartedly, God. And I think it's so interesting to think about, you know, the people getting baptized, they're saying, you know, we're making that first public declaration. And God, may we never grow tired of every day, whether we've been saved 50 years, one day, whatever it is, God, that we are serving you wholeheartedly, God. Let us never lose that excitement of our baptism, God, and just our continual daily, weekly, monthly saying yes to all you have for us, God. And so I just pray that you would not allow us to leave comfortable this morning, God, that if there's any area you want to challenge me or on behalf of this church, God, us, I pray that we would be so open to it, God. And we thank you that you don't leave us where we're at, God. You love us where we are and too much to leave us there, God. We thank you for that. I just pray you bless everyone this morning as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.